So we are continuing the chapter 26, Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmin dadhe dhammamaham tava vira patni. Tasmin dadhe dhammamaham tava vira patni. Yonyatra bhushura kulat krita kilvishastam. Yonyatra bhushura kulat krita kilvishastam. O hero's wife, King Prachinabari, is telling to his wife. Narada Muni is actually having strong preaching to King Prachinabari, and now King Puranjana is speaking to his wife. Yeah. O hero's wife, kindly tell me, if someone has offended you, I am prepared to give such a person punishment as long as he does not belong to the Brahmana caste. But for the servant of Muraripu Krishna, I excuse no one within or beyond these three worlds. No one can freely move after offending you, for I am prepared to punish him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Vedic civilization, a Brahmana, or one who is properly qualified to understand the absolute truth, that is, one belonging to the most intelligent social order, as well as the devotee of Lord Krishna, who is known as Muradvisha, enemy of a demon named Mura, is not subject to the rules and regulations of the state. In other words, upon breaking the laws of the state, everyone can be punished by the government except the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Brahmanas and Vaishnavas never transgress the laws of the state or the laws of nature because they know perfectly well the resultant reactions caused by such law breaking. Even though they may sometimes appear to violate the laws, they are not to be punished by the king. This instruction was given to King Prachinabarishat by Narada Muni. King Puranjana was a representative of King Prachinabarishat, and Narada Muni was reminding King Prachinabarishat of his forefather, Maharaj Prithu, who never chastised a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. This is the first part of the purport. We will a little bit spend our time on this first part, which is speaking about position of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. It is very interesting. In India, for you, this is mostly very natural. You know about, but in the West, you know, there is no such thing. There is this thing, such thing does not exist in Western culture. You know, this high respect to the Brahmanas and to the scriptures. You know, in India, mostly people respect scriptures and saints. Especially South, I've seen, but in the West that is not the case. So usually, preaching is not established by Shastra. You know, here you just quote Shastra, But people mostly even don't accept Shastra. And when you argue on Shastra, for them this doesn't have any meaning. Mostly it will have a meaning if you apply logic. Logic is what Western people accept. Something what is understandable to them. So there must be some reason why Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are not subject to the laws of the state. Could you suggest why it is like that? This little makes one think. They are not on the bodily platform. Some other view also? Someone else? Why Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are not subject to the laws of state? Why they are not punished? Yes, Prabhupada. They are directly serving Lord Krishna. They are not on the bodily platform. They are directly serving Lord Krishna. Any other idea? Maybe you have something in your mind. Brahman and Vaishnava are not just by name, they have a perfect character. Mataji?
Directly protected by Lord Krishna.
They are directly protected by Lord Krishna. So they are not on the bodily platform. They are directly protected by Lord Krishna. They are, what else was there? They never offend anyone. Do we have examples when Brahman or Vaishnava transgresses the rules? Oh, now we started, okay.
When more reason, they are free from poor defects.
They are free from poor defects.
Punishing them is a very powerful thing.
Powerful sin?
Sin. Powerful sin. Yeah. It's a very powerful sin. I think you are mostly learned and aware of much more than me of this, how scriptures actually glorify the position of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and how they are in any case not to be criticized or punished even by the law of the state. So we can see from Shastra, Lord Krishna also says, even if they do something which is, sinful, they are not to be criticized. That's very interesting also. Apichetsu duracharo. Lord Krishna says, no? Bhajate mam ananya bhak. One who worships me ananya bhak without deviation, sadur eva samantavya, he should be considered saintly. And very interesting last pada is samyak vyavasito, because of his samyak, complete vyavasita, his complete determination to serve the Lord. So this is a devotee who has a complete determination to purely serve the Lord. Sometimes material energy also can harm, but Lord Krishna says that person should not be judged for this act, because he is fully surrendered. And Kshipram, very soon, he will become Dharma Atma. He will become righteous. Why? Why? Kshipram Bhavati Dharma Atma. He will very soon become Dharma Atma. Because of the service to the Lord. Because he is properly situated. Where is he properly situated? In the service, completely situated in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he will be purified, not by some external thing. He will be purified just because of his devotional service. He cannot do anything else which will purify him. He's just continuing to serve Krishna. Lord Krishna says, Tesham evanu kampartham aham agyana jamtama jnana deepena bhasvata. By the jnana deepa, the light of lamp of knowledge within the heart, I'm situated within their heart. Within whose heart is Lord Krishna situated? Within everyone's heart. But jnana deepena bhasvata, he will illuminate the heart of the devotee by knowledge. By which devotee? Tesham venu kampartam aham jnana jantama nashayami atma bhavastho. Atma bhavastho. The one who is atma bhava, bhava, one who has a devotion, who has real devotion for the Lord. So this is the first part of the purport, where the position of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas is established, as even by the law they should not be punished. So Srila Prabhupada continues, once pure intelligence or pure Krishna consciousness becomes polluted by material activities, pure consciousness can be revived by the process of sacrifice, charity, pious activities, etc. But when one pollutes his Krishna consciousness by offending a Brahmana or a Vaishnava, it is very difficult to revive. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described the Vaishnava aparadha, or offense to a Vaishnava, as the mad elephant offense. One should be very careful not to offend a Vaishnava or a Brahmana. Even the great yogi Durvasa was harassed by the Sudarshan Chakra when he offended the Vaishnava Maharaj Ambarish, who was neither a Brahmana nor a sannyasi, but an ordinary householder. Maharaj Ambarish was a Vaishnava, and consequently Durvasa Muni was chastised. The conclusion is that if Krishna consciousness is covered by material sins, one can eliminate the sins simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But if one pollutes his Krishna consciousness by offending a Brahmana or a Vaishnava, one cannot revive it until one properly atones for the sin by pleasing the offended Vaishnava or Brahmana. This was the course that Durvasa Muni had to follow, for he surrendered unto Maharaj Ambarish. A Vaishnava aparadha cannot be atoned for by any means other than by begging the pardon of the offended Vaishnava, surrendering to the Vaishnava. So we can see how Narada Muni is expertly preaching the story of long story of King Puranjana. He's speaking to King Prachina Barishat. Oh hero's wife, kindly tell me if someone has offended you. I am prepared to give such a person punishment as long as he does not belong to the Brahmana caste. But for the servant of Muraripu, Krishna, I excuse no one within or beyond these three walls. No one can freely move after offending you, for I am prepared to punish him. He's speaking to his wife. So, as Vyasaki Prabhu was explaining some... I remember that lecture because it's very interesting. We remember something which is relevant for us. He was speaking about how Narada Muni was preaching something which is relevant for the king Prajna Barishat. He's speaking about another king. So this is king and the king, you know. And he's speaking to his wife. Wife is someone who is very dear to the king. So his attention is naturally there. But if he asks the devotees, you know, the story of King this technical, so many things going on there, I don't want, you know, this is boring. Sometimes the devotee will say like this, you know, oh, this technical story is so much boring, so many technical things inside, so many meanings. You know? If you are in jnana mood, you will enjoy it, but if the devotee is simple, cannot enjoy so much. So Vyasaki Prabhu gave this interesting, I remember this interesting bit. Why? Because it was relevant for me as someone who is preaching, you know, who is it was relevant for me because he said a preacher should say things which are relevant. Not only a preacher, anyone, you know, if we must speak things which are relevant for the person, and that is very interesting for not only to hear, but this thing is actually for work on it, you know. And this is daily work. How will I say something which is relevant for the person, you know, which it will be alive in a person, you know. So Narada Muni, like this, preaches very expertly to King Prachina Barishat, mentioning the story of Punajana, and particularly in this case, mentioning in this shloka, mentioning the position of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, how they should be always protected and never criticized. Another thing, this Vaishnava Parada seems to be a thing which really is a main obstacle in all lives of devotees. You know, devotees' life. It seems to be a main obstacle for our advancement. It is a topic which is really hard, you know, and it is a very complex also topic, and it should be pondered about, as all acharyas suggest. Now, even when we get a diksha, during the diksha ceremony, during the initiation, it said that 10 offenses should be discussed. The 10 offenses, and understood. And especially, Vaishnava Aparada is mentioned here by Srila Prabhupada, because we will agree, besides this 10th offense, which is inattentiveness, or material conception, while chanting, I think I'm a body while chanting. I'm a brahmachari, I'm a grihastha, I'm mahajwala das. While chanting, this is bodily. But this 10th offense, but first offense is also very, very difficult to overcome. Very difficult. At least in my case. Very difficult. How come? Why? We see that king was offended by great Muni. Durvas, Prabhupada mentions. Do you have any idea how one becomes offensive? What happened? What exactly happened to Durvasa? Why he became offensive? Can you say it in two words or very short sutra? Why it happened? Let's think about it. Because of his pride. Insecurity. Oh, this is very interesting. Disrespect. Insecurity, pride, disrespect, Anuradha, envy, Mataji, envy, yeah, ego, false ego, yeah. So mainly, mainly pride, mainly these things. False ego, pride, envy, anger. But how come? Why this pride is there? Why this pride comes? Actually, mostly when I analyze my own spiritual life, we are now devotees, we are practicing devotees. Actually, mostly, it's sad, very sad to say, but mostly we are proud. I'm proud. But you don't think I'm proud. We don't think like that. You don't think I'm proud. But you react, the way you react shows your pride. And what means this pride? It means I deserve more. If you think I deserve more, not the punishment, but the position, the service, not service to give but to accept. Puja, labha, pratishta. I deserve it. I deserve more attention. I deserve more care. I deserve better food, I deserve better treatment. So, I deserve more is pride. Very interesting how deep it is. And humility is I don't deserve. Or I deserve punishment. Why I should think I deserve punishment, Nobody thinks like this, usually. Because we are mostly blind to ourselves. This is the human. I'm every day amazed on myself. We are so blind to ourselves. It's amazing. If you go around and you make devotee in tamoguna. Devotion in tamoguna means pride. I'm the best devotee. And we can go around our movement and make a survey. Do you think you are the best devotee? Nobody will say, yeah, I think I'm the best devotee. So that means there is no tamoguna in our movement. No, we will not say it, but we will behave like this sometimes. I'm speaking my own case only. We will behave, it is difficult for a person to, it is very difficult, to see oneself in such a way. Because this mentality, Siddho, Ham, I'm perfect, we can make a survey around who thinks I'm perfect. I don't think anyone would agree I'm perfect. But if someone corrects us, if somebody comes to me and say, you are pujari and somebody, you should not have done like this. Or, you should not have do like this, or you should not have served prasadam like this. I know many examples, especially during chanting, one is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then another devotee comes and says, Prabhuji, I'm very sorry. I must tell you, you are really mispronouncing the names. Come on, Prabhuji, you are sleeping. No, I'm not sleeping. Hare Krishna. I know one devotee when I joined in Italy, long time back. I remember this. It was very funny to me. He's a wonderful person, but I was also younger than him. I just joined the movement. But I saw him holding japa during... And since I just joined, I had a great respect for everyone. This is the first stage. First stage, you think everybody is pure devotee. As soon as you see dhoti, somebody lives, you think this is pure devotee. And you think, whatever anyone says, because you read in the books, you know, devotees stand, and you come in the temple, you think, oh, these are all pure devotees. Then you think, my God, he must be really enjoying great rasa with Krishna. This is first thing I thought when I saw devotees like Hare Krishna. I was thinking, oh my God, it happened. When it will happen to me? But later I became a little more intelligent and that's also offensive. You know, you become very intelligent and then you see, oh, this is what is sleeping. Let me help him. It's very sad, you know, just let me help him. And I, Prabhuji. I'm 5 minutes, one round for me, 5 minutes. I'm chanting all the time, don't worry. I can give someone else example, but when it comes to myself, you know, then it's not easy, you know, because Sido Ham. It's not only the demons, some in the on other planets, they are thinking Sido Ham. it's in our life present there. And also Balavan, I'm powerful. You know, this is, imagine, I'm and Sukhi, imagine that, I'm happy. Demoniac mentality, I'm happy. What that means, I'm happy. You know, that means pride, I'm happy. And pride, oh, I'm happy, I'm powerful, I'm happy. You know, like when you have a good sadhana, very powerful, you woke up very early, you chanted your rounds, you surrendered completely, you know. And then you see some other devotees who are like a little bit struggling, who are not so much in potent mood, you know. Then you think, oh, these are in Maya, you know. They are in Maya, you know. So I'm powerful. I had powerful sadhana and I go out and I will distribute so many books. And what happens? People start ignoring you, at least. You know, people start ignoring you and you feel, why they're ignoring me, you know. They're just passing by, they don't see you at all. Therefore, street is the best teacher. If you go to street, it's the best teacher. Immediately. They don't know if you are sannyasi or brahmachari or if you are temple authority or if you are anything, people will not, they don't care, they just avoid, they are not interested. Why? Because everyone has this, it is not that people are in ignorance and they don't know anything. They can see in our face, we don't see it, but they can see when we are attached and when they have superior opinion. They can immediately, at least in the West, I don't know, in India, they are very much respectful, everyone, but in the West, they immediately feel it, and they reject you. Even if you speak wonderful words. Once I was, since it is the end of the marathon, once I was distributing in one parking lot, I was distributing books, and I would speak such a nice arguments to people. I would be amazed. Wow, what is coming out of my mouth? This is, I would buy 100 books. Or the person says, thank you, but another time. Another time. Or said, please, we have job to do, please, next time. Oh. And sometimes you feel so much in Maya, you know, you feel so much degraded. You know. And you even wake up late, you don't have even your full rounds chanted, you know, and you think, oh my God, you know. But still you go out, it is, you know, the duty. And what happens? You think, you know, I'm even groggy, my face maybe looks like, you know. And you think nobody will take anything, you know. I'm so in Maya today. But people start approaching you, oh, what do you have? May I take one? Yes, sure. And what happens, even if you don't want sometimes to distribute the book, many devotees have this experience, you know. They become discouraged, and they sit on the bench. You know? And then a person approaches them. Oh, you have books, this Bhagavad Gita or books of that Prabhupada? Yes, I have. So may I see it? Yes, you may see. And then he buys books like this. So it is the more, you know, it is easy to be humble when it is obvious to us, you know. I mean, but it's interesting that usually if we are not in the good frame of mind, proper frame of mind, our sadhana is make us proud. You know, I realize so many times. Sadhana, good, if you are powerful sadhana, external sadhana, number of rounds, when you get up in the morning, what do you do? Then usually, whenever I was like this, I would have a no tolerance for devotees who are, you know, weak. Weak spiritually, in my eyes. Spiritually. It is very difficult when you are pushing strongly to be tolerant and kind to others. It's more difficult. Therefore, actual sadhana means from the heart. Humility, I don't deserve. Not I deserve. No, I deserve to dispute many books. I had a powerful sadhana. And you come out, everybody ignoring you. What's happening? And sometimes you even don't want to dispute books, and people approaching you because they are attracted by humility. They are attracted. So one some of you said respect. Durvasa Muni didn't have respect. So usually when we are proud, we cannot respect others properly. We will judge externally. I'm a Muni, he's the king. So we immediately make this distinction. So for a Brahmana it's easier, because you know this is a Brahmana, but for Vaishnava it is much more difficult, because you don't know who is Vaishnava. He can be a shoemaker. We don't know. Or who is Vaishnava? You don't know. It's very easy to make offense to Vaishnava. Once my friend, he met one person on the street, and the person said, yeah, I know, I read every day, and I also chant. Wow, really you chant? Yeah, I chant on this month. How many rounds? I chant 15 every day. 15 rounds? But you don't see, you know, you just met the person, you don't see him anywhere in the temples. Why? Why don't chant 16 rounds? Then I would become proud. I'm not a devotee, I chant 15. It was very interesting thing. And we like it. You know, it's nice to appear when you have a good result behind you. You know, then we like to appear somewhere. But if you don't have a good result, better let me skip around, because you know. But this is the blessing. You know, the blessing is that when we are really in the heart, just humble, natural. Not puffed up, but puffed out. You know, like, you know, snake of pride, you know, Bharat Maharaj, you know? Bharat, Jada Bharat, he speaks about the snake of pride, you know. It bites us, and then we become. And then become mistreated. So for a young devotee, for the senior devotee, always this is always there. This danger of a pride. When you are a young devotee, how you can become proud? Any one of you was a young devotee, so, you know? How you become proud as a young devotee? Any idea? Vishwanath Chakravarti explains how become you proud as a young devotee. You become utsahamayi, filled with enthusiasm. Wow. And this is mainly coming from the other devotees, actually. We are in their association and we get so much shakti, you know. But then one thinks, wow, I know everything, you know. And then we like to correct when somebody is giving class, you like to correct the Sanskrit immediately. Or, you know, or you think, oh, I should sit there and speak. Or you think, you know, this is when you are young, you know. Immediately we are like this enthusiasm, or somebody offers obeisances with one hand, we read the Nectar of Devotion, or we land on the bhakti class, we should offer, you should not offer obeisances with one hand but with two hands. This is one of the seva paradas. So we see some senior devotee offering obeisances with one hand. Oh, this is not proper. He is not doing properly. I should teach him. Like this. But for a senior devotee, pride also comes. It's a problem. It's always a problem. The ghee lamp comes in, and we are maybe for foreign country. Maybe you may even be Prabhupada disciples, but young devotees, mostly they don't know, and they offer ghee lamp to all others. It passes in front of you. It's not so pleasant. It's not so pleasant. Or we come somewhere and you are not treated properly. You know, it's not nice. It's not nice. You have some position and you go somewhere where nobody knows your position. And they give you, please. Yeah. But for a devotee, it is not nice for pride. For us, but it is nice for a devotion. You know? It's nice for a devotion when we get like mistreated. It's a wonderful thing, actually. You know, it's a wonderful thing for anyone. So the love for Vaishnavas, that should be respect. Respect is a very interesting word. Respecto, spectacles. Specto means to see, to look. Re means again. Look again. With somebody, he has no kacha on the dhoti, you know. He just wears like this, fishing. Ah. This is some Baba style. Not serious devotee. He's now no kacha on the dhoti. You know? But if you have respect, you look again. Only somebody, you know, somebody looks different, we may judge. But if we have respect, means look again. Try to look deeper. And this is the advice of Rupa Goswami. You are very learned devotees, you know. This Ninda de Shunya Hridam Ipsita Sangalabdhya. One should search the association of a devotee who is Shunya, who is completely empty of nindadi, of the offenses. He doesn't criticize anyone. He's pure-hearted devotee. We should search his association. This is the way. This is one way to get rid of aparadas. I have more things, positive things, but the time, I guess, is out. I'm sorry. I have more things. Let's just mention them. That was a Sankirtan festival 2009 in Germany. Sachinanda Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, he was giving lecture to the devotees and he mentioned four things, positive things. You know. It is not just we are avoiding aparada. It is not just we are avoiding, we have some positive engagement. There is some positive. So when we remove this apa, when we remove the apa, it remains Radha. It remains worship of the devotees. So four things are mentioned. This is actually Kapila Dev mentioned to Devahuti. Merciful gifts, charitable gifts. Devotees should give each other gifts. Attention. Give attention to another devotee. You know, somebody comes and asks us something, and we say, I don't have time, please ask someone else. Attention. Be friendly. Being friendly toward other devotees. Carry. And view them equally. View everyone equally. What that means? What it means viewing equally? It means not making distinction. This group is like that. These are my people. These are in Maya. Seeing everyone equally, how he is engaged in Krishna service. So he mentioned these things: gifts, attention, friendliness, and view everyone equally. He said, Maharaj said, how can I be of service? This is for me interesting. You know, after some lectures, you remember something, or you sometimes don't remember anything. I was sitting on the lectures, after lecture I cannot remember anything. So it is much more difficult to hear the Bhagavatam than to speak the Bhagavatam. You don't see many devotees falling asleep while speaking. It happens very rarely. So it's much more difficult to hear, actually. So I always try to put some small thing, one sentence, which one can remember. And it is, how can I be of service to someone's advancement? Maharaj said, devotee constantly thinks, how can I be of service to someone's advancement? This I took as something as a small, as a motto. You wake up and I say, okay, or you come in the temple and I think, how can I be of service to someone's advancement? It's a nice mood which will help. You know the mango story. There are many mango stories. But I heard this. I'll make it very short. It's explaining this interesting point. It's, you know, the person came into the ashram to visit the Lord. And Chokidar, he opened the door. Chokidar opened the door. And the person who was coming to visit the Lord, he was thinking, wow, this Chokidar actually, he's always opening me the door. You know that story, huh? No. I heard it first time yesterday when I was preparing. But he gave him a mango. He brought a mango and he said, let me give something nice to this person. And really from the heart he felt like that, and he gave Chokidar very wonderful, tasty mango. Chokidar was thinking, oh. But then he was also thinking, actually I should give this mango to the founder, to the acharya of the ashram, the leader, because he took so much trouble to open all this, to establish all this, you know. So he went with that mango and he gave the mango to the ashram acharya, really with the heart. Ashram acharya accepted the mango and he was so touched by this chakra. Oh. And then he started thinking, let me see. He went to one Sikh brahmachari and since this brahmachari needs some encouragement, you know. And he's always trying to serve so nicely. He's now sick, let me help him, you know. I don't need actually, let me help him. And he gave this mango. He brought this Sikh brahmachari. He was thinking, Maharaj coming to give me mango. You're serving so nicely. You are now But Brahmachari thinks I'm so useless, you know, I'm sick, I can do any service. And he got nice mango. You know, I appreciate very much your service. You are very nice devotee. You know? Then that Brahmachari was very, you know, wow. He saw so much love in the person. So the story goes on. It's a long, long story. The Brahmachari, after things, oh, actually the cook, is taking so much nice care of us all. Let me bring this to cook, actually. You should have it, you know. And it's long, so many mango goes around and around. In the end, it comes back to Chokidar. And then it comes back to the Chokidar, because one person knew, he joined, he remembered the Chokidar. He is the first one who opened the door for me. So really, I really appreciate, you know. So Chokidar saw that mango. He recognized that is the same mango. It has, you know, some scraps, something. This is the same mango. So he went to the ashram acharya. He asked him, Maharaji, how did you like that mango? How did you taste it, that mango? I must tell you sincerely, I have not eaten the mango. I accepted your love. I accepted really your love, but I must confirm. I did not taste it, your mango. I gave it away because I was thinking that someone else is. You may go to the Brahmachari. You know that Brahmachari who was sick. You go to him and you ask him how was the taste of the mango. So, in this way they were going around and around. And nobody has tasted the mango. But each of them tasted something else. The real mango of love. And the end story ends very nicely. In the end, Chokidar finally goes on to offer the mango and eat it. But then when he... In the end, because nobody told him how it tastes, so he wanted not, in the end, to taste it. But then the acharya came inside. I was thinking, how also maybe I should taste that mango. And then Brahmachari came inside, and the cook and everybody came inside to taste the mango. And they divided the mango, and it was really abundance of mango. Somehow it manifested more and more and more. So this is a very... very nice story, you know. Usually, you know, when paneer sabji comes, I know in India, paneer is very, they like it a lot. Paneer sabji comes, give me paneer, you know. If you have only paneer sabji, that's great, but if you have shak with some paneer, you know, then give me paneer. And then after three devotees in this mood, there is no more paneer. It's only shak without paneer. But if you think, you know, not so much paneer, please give me just shak. No one will do this. Very difficult. So this is the nice mood of love, you know, thinking about others' welfare, thinking about others, you know. This is such a nice thing. Immediately we all become happy just by speaking, hearing about these things. Okay, so my time is off. Thank you so much for your mercy and kind attention. Give me opportunity to serve you somehow. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.